Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Thank you, Sister Bonnie. Thank you, Brian, you guys for singing this morning. I hope I say it a lot, that I'm grateful for the music ministry of Emmanuel Baptist. God has really been good to us, and God has blessed us with tremendous gifts and talents in the music area, in the music aspect of ministry. And 11 years ago, I believe it was, that this past October, and then shortly thereafter in December when we came on staff here as the pastor of Emmanuel, we had, I think there was about eight people in the choir. I think, is that right, Bonnie? Bill? About eight people in the choir. And to see that God has raised the choir up like he has, and now we not only have a choir, under Brother Stephen's direction, does a fantastic job with our music ministry, and then with our orchestra and playing in the orchestra. And I'll tell you a funny story of Joe Hall this morning. Brother Stephen asked Brother Joe, he said, what's the song and page number for such and such a song? And Joe was sitting on this side of the orchestra, and Brother Stephen's sitting over here, and Joe went, 5, 4, 8. I love stories like that. He should have went 5, 4. you never know. But and also, thank you to the guys that worked hard yesterday getting all those trees down and cutting those trees up. Last week, one of those dead ash trees that we've honestly probably taken out, without exaggeration, we've probably cut down over the years, probably 30, 40 trees that we've taken down, those dead ash trees. And but the guys worked hard yesterday and got a bunch more cut down. One of them had fallen on our neighbor's fence, and so we're going to be taking care of that. But again, thank you, fellas, for doing that yesterday, and I appreciate that. I'm grateful. I mean that, and not to just keep being repetitive with that statement, but I'm thankful and grateful for all the ones that when something happens like that, you jump in, and some your schedules didn't allow you to be here, but many of you were able to perhaps drop what you were doing to get over here and get that done. And I appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing that. And grateful, honestly, truly grateful to be part of a church that understands what serving the Lord is. And it's a blessing, is it not? And it's really a blessing. So open your Bibles today to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Last week, we were in chapter 12. We actually were going to finish up chapter 12. But to be quite honest, we kind of have done that in the sense that when the story ends, Peter, God delivers him from the jail cell. He was awaiting execution, and God supernaturally delivers him, and he goes back to the house and knocks on the door. Rhoda, the young girl, she thinks it's an angel, but God supernaturally delivers Peter as far as from execution, and just shows you how God, through the prayers of God's people, God does supernatural things, and God still does supernatural things. But what I want to do this morning, I want us to transition a little bit to chapter 13, and really what you have in chapter 13, it's a start of the final division of the book of Acts. If you remember, in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, Jesus Christ had given that, had told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. And they were to wait in Jerusalem because God was going to send the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit of God was going to come on the day of Pentecost, and he would empower that Jerusalem church to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. They were to share the gospel in Jerusalem. They were to share the gospel in Judea and Samaria. And to be honest, in the first seven chapters, chapters 1 through 7, we see the gospel being taken primarily to Jerusalem. When you then go from chapters 8 through 12, the gospel has penetrated Judea and Samaria. Now you come to chapter number 13. The gospel now, if you remember part of that verse of Acts 1:8, they were to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world, the earth. They were to take the gospel to the world. And from chapter 13 and following, that's what's going to transpire. I'm grateful this morning, once again, I'm thankful and grateful that the gospel of Jesus Christ came to America. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the central focal point of the gospel of Jesus Christ, starting there in Galilee and around Jerusalem and those regions. And yet God, here's what's supernatural about our Lord. God gets that message some 2,000 years ago. God gets that message and brings it all the way to the United States of America. And let me also say it a little bit. Let's bring it a little closer. He not only brought it to the United States of America, you, my friend, many of us in this room this morning have trusted Jesus Christ and God has saved us all because the gospel came to the uttermost parts of the earth. So you say, preacher, well, if it came to the uttermost parts of earth, what are we to do? We're to take it even farther. We're to take it even farther. We're to take it in the regions that perhaps have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So with that, chapter 13, we're going to go towards the end of the chapter and then we'll back up and just kind of make our way through this passage. So if you found Acts chapter 13, in honor and reverence for the reading of God's holy word, please stand. Acts chapter 13, and we'll start our reading in verse 44. Acts chapter 13, as you have here what is often referred to as the foreign mission section in the book of Acts. Foreign missions. From chapter 13 and following, you have that developed. Verse 44 of Acts chapter 13 says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary," look at this now, "it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you." They're talking to the Jews in the multitude that day. They're talking to the Jews in the crowd. That multitude, the whole city comes out, Jews and Gentiles, they come out to hear the word of God. And the Jews see as far as they were concerned, they see these second-class citizen ethnicities of people and different nations of the world, and they see them and they hate it. Because as far as they were concerned, the message of the Bible was only for the Jew. But Paul and Barnabas, they waxed bold and they look at those Jews and they said, it was necessary. It absolutely was necessary. Look at the text. Verse 46. "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you," look at that. "Seeing ye put it from you, you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn." Listen to this. "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you. We're grateful, Lord Jesus, for who you are. God, I pray that you'll speak as only you can. I pray, God, that you will just so manifest your power in our lives that, God, a lost and dying world will see it and they will glorify you, that many will come to know you as Savior. I pray today, God, if there's someone here today that has never trusted Christ in salvation, I ask, dear God, that you will touch hearts, that you'll bring conviction upon the lost, and God, you'll save somebody here today. For those that, as your children, may be wayward, may be backslidden, I pray, God, that you'll touch their heart, that they would repent, rededicate their life to you. So, Father, may we praise you in your presence this morning, in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. May be seated. What you have in this passage of Scripture this morning is simply the gospel, a story for the world. The gospel, the title of the sermon, the gospel, a story for the world. Aren't you thankful this morning? And I keep asking you that, and I know you are.
But aren't you thankful and grateful that the gospel of Jesus Christ has no boundaries? You say, wait a minute, preacher, but there are some countries that are closed to the gospel. Well, in all honesty, that's not true. You say, well, wait a minute, are you saying, well, what do you know? No, stay with me for a moment. The gospel may get into regions of the world that it's not, as far as governmental aspects, that it's not supposed to be there. But here's the great news about Jesus. You can't stop his gospel. You can't stop it from penetrating. Dr. Johnny Hunt said, many may take the gospel to areas that they may not come back from, but the gospel of Jesus Christ has no boundaries, no geographical boundaries, no social boundaries, no status boundaries. The gospel of Jesus Christ is to go to every creature. Amen, amen, and amen. I remember, it's probably been about 10 years ago now, I remember reading a lot and hearing a lot about, you know, and I read a lot of books. I love reading. Brother Bob Lamb said years ago, he says, readers are leaders and leaders are readers. And I've kind of really understood that pastoring, that you have to read and you constantly, and not just pastors, if you're a teacher, if you're a leader in our church, be a reader. Just constantly saturate yourself with the Bible and other good books that are going to stretch you, that are going to grow you, that's going to mature you in your walk with God. And because, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Savior in Jesus Christ he is wonderful to get to know more about. Learn all that you can about him, and you'll find, here's what's so great about Jesus. The more you learn about him, the more you realize you don't know as much as perhaps you should know. That you got to learn more, and you got to grow more, and you got to learn more, and you got to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in the context of that, and in the context of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what is the gospel? We know what the gospel is. The gospel is none other than the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. Let me say to all the preachers that are in this room this morning, if you stand to preach the Bible, and you do not preach the gospel, you have wasted your time and the people that are sitting and hearing you. You preach the gospel every time you stand and you proclaim the Bible. You say, well, why is that, preacher? Well, I'm going to show you why through these scriptures this morning. Now, as you back up to verse number 1, here's basically what transpires. Saul and Barnabas are back at the church in Antioch, and God has a specific job that God wants to do through the ministry and the lives of Saul and Barnabas. So the Bible tells us, and we kind of pick up on it real quick, verse number 1, there were two in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Look at verse 2. Don't miss this. This is phenomenal. This is absolutely worth its weight in gold in the context of serving the Lord. Look at verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, just on the surface, this is free. It wasn't part of my sermon, but I think I need to interject something here. Here's a very simple principle when it comes to ministry, when it comes to serving. For those that say, well, preacher, I just want something to do. Well, here's a good principle to learn, and it's right out of this text. Get busy serving Jesus now with what you can do, and watch what God will do in your life. Don't, and let me say it like this. Don't wait to serve Jesus. Do it now. Amen? Do it now. Because the Bible tells us, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So they're already serving Jesus. They're serving the Lord in any capacity. I really sincerely believe that. I think they're serving the Lord Jesus in any capacity that the church at Antioch needed people to serve in. You know, and that's one of the great blessings of being a part of a church that's growing, is there's all the time, needs often arise, and they're all the time needing more. You say, preacher, I'll tell you what, in Emmanuel, there's always sign-up sheets for people to volunteer, and there's all the time, and by the way, there's going to be more sign-up sheets because that baby nursery is exploding. Not literally. You know, we're having a growth. We're growing Emmanuel Baptist just through the nursery. We got rid of all those mean boys. Now we're getting some sweet little girls to come through that nursery. Amen? So he said, "Preacher, serving in the nursery." You know, I had somebody say years ago, and this absolutely dumbfounded me and actually pretty much offended me. I had somebody say years ago, when they were approached to work in the nursery, say this. Ready for this? "Well, I've raised my kids. I'm not going to serve in a nursery." Really? Okay. "Here's a toilet bowl brush. We want you to clean the toilets." And now you say, "Preacher, that's kind of mean." Don't hear my heart. There shouldn't be anything in the church that you and I as God's people, if we're capable of doing it, not be willing to serve in. To borrow a phrase, no job too big, no job too small, man. Right? We're redneck preacher number one. And no job. No, listen, if God allows you, listen, friend, it is an honor to serve the Lord Jesus. You know, cutting those guys, and I know you know this because I know those, Brother Stephen shared with me who showed up yesterday. Do you realize cutting those trees down out there in that yard, well, in that area out there, do you realize you were serving Jesus doing that? You were serving the Lord. Well, preacher, and I've seen people of years, they get upset because really, and I don't know, maybe I'm just observant, but maybe I'm wrong in this. Correct me, please, if I'm wrong. But sometimes people get upset because their name isn't coming from the pulpit. Listen, if we're serving so our names come from the pulpit, here's a sad thing about that. You won't have a reward in heaven. If you're doing it for the praise of men, we won't have a reward in heaven. Listen, may we do it for an audience of one to give glory through. They don't let me use a chainsaw much anymore. I almost cut my leg off with it. I was cutting. You can ask Danny Lambert this. I was cutting one time, and man, I was cutting away. You know, 100 oak trees on the wall, 99 oak trees now. So I'm cutting away, and I had my hand in my hand, had thing running, and I went like this. Well, when I went, my wrist, being an all-star first baseman Hall of Famer, my wrist turned, and it caught the back of my britches leg and cut a hole in my britches. Back there. There. And I squalled. Whoa! I squalled like a banshee. And Dan's like, "What in the world are you doing?" I said, "This thing like to cut my leg off." Amen? And here's what I found about that. Here's what was so awesome about that. I was able to put rips in my britches and didn't have to pay $80 for a pair. You people need therapy that do that. If you go to buy a pair of britches and they already have holes in it, think about that for a moment. Just loan them to my boys. They'll put holes in them for you in a week and a half. Right? But you were serving Jesus Christ. I've got to get through this or we'll never finish it. You say, "Keep talking about that." No. I felt a draft. I'll just tell you, I felt a draft. So the Bible tells us in verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And by the way, let me also dispel something. I've had people of years say, "Preacher, wait a minute, but there may be a day when other churches may want to have some of our people that are serving in ministry. There may be a day that other churches need them to fill in their pulpits and need them to serve in the ministries. And preacher, we don't want to lose people." Listen, friend, if God opens a door and the Lord calls people out of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist to go and serve in other capacities of a church, we don't lose them. We launch them. We launch them to the service of the Lord's kingdom. We launch them in the service of the Lord Jesus. And what a joy and what an honor it is to serve Jesus Christ. Rely on God to open doors and rely on God. And by the way, you know, take it for what it's worth. I remember years ago hearing a young preacher one time, and I was actually at Brother Fain's church, and I heard a young preacher. He come up to me and said, "Brother Tracy," he said, "hey, I'll preach anytime you need me." He said, "I'm just trying to get my name out there." And he said, I said, Brother Stephen and I was talking about this. And here's my heart on this. You young preachers that are in this room, don't worry about getting your name out there. Focus on getting Jesus out there. And God will open doors that no man can shut, and you will be astonished at what God will do in your life if you just be willing, but get busy serving Jesus here. Don't worry about there unless you're serving here. Amen? You serve, you do it with all your might, you do it with every fiber of your being, you do it with dedication, you do it fervently to Jesus Christ, and just watch indeed how God will bless your life. Now, here's what's amazing about the Apostle Paul. So the Bible says they laid hands on him, they sent them away. Verse 4 says, so they departed, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John, we'll talk about him later, John Mark, to their minister. Now, here's what's amazing. Here's what you find happening. Saul and Barnabas, all they did was every area that they found themselves in, they're going and God's using them to plant churches, and God's using them to take the gospel to the foreign fields, out of Jerusalem, out of Judea and Samaria. They're now taken to the uttermost parts of the earth, and God's using them. But here's what you find them doing. All they're doing now on the mission field is doing what they did back home in Antioch. Dr. Johnny Hunt says, the light that shines the farthest will shine the brightest at home. The light that shines the farthest will shine the brightest at home. I've heard people, and I have, I've heard, especially young preachers, who say, well, Pastor, man, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this. Well, what are you doing for Jesus here? Well, I don't really have time to do a lot of things here at church. Well, listen, before God will open a door there, you got to serve him here. Amen? And that's what you see. It's very simple, and that was free. It's very, very simply developed through those first several verses. So now we fast forward. And here's what was very customary of the Apostle Paul to do. Paul would go into, no matter what region he was in, he would find himself on Saturdays, which was the Jewish Sabbath, he would find himself going into synagogues. The Jews had one temple, and that was in Jerusalem. But they had a lot of the synagogues, which were basically a smaller, very, very smaller scale of the temple. But they had the smaller scale, if you will. And they were synagogues, and Jews would meet in these synagogues all throughout the known world every Sabbath. So the Apostle Paul, being the great man of God that he was, Paul knew, hey, we're going to take the message of Jesus. We got to go right where the action is. We got to go right in there on the Sabbath day, and we're going to dispute. We're going to share Jesus. You know, they would go, and they would hear the reading of the law, and they would hear the reading of the prophets. And then it was customary. Often it was a lot of custom was, if a visiting rabbi had come to the synagogue, they would open the floor and say, hey, does anybody else want to share a word? So Paul, God, would use that type of venue for them to be able to share Jesus. Now, something else to keep in mind, when Paul would do that, one of two things would happen. Either revival would break out or a riot would break out. Because you can imagine, those Jews didn't want you upsetting the apple cart. Those Jews let me back it up. They wanted it to stay the way it was. You know, the last words of a dying church. Here, you ready for this? Here's the last words of a dying church. And this was the mentality often of the Jews in the synagogues. Here's the last words of a dying church. We've never done it that way before. So Paul would go in. And when they would ask, they would stand up and they would speak. And what they would do, and Paul did it in Thessalonica, he would open and allege that Christ Jesus was indeed the Messiah. He indeed was the one that was promised for 4,000 years that would come and would redeem his people from their sins. And Paul now and Barnabas, here they are, they're traveling, they're landing in different regions, and they're going in and out of these synagogues. You have an interesting controversy building there with a man named Bar-Jesus, who's calls him out and puts it, you know, he's full of mischief, and Paul expounds on that. But I don't want to get there. I want to fast forward and want us now to come to verse number 16. So we find Saul, Paul, and Barnabas. They land now in the city of Antioch in Pisidia. And there now they go into the synagogue, verse 14, on the Sabbath day and sat down, verse 15 says, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Now, right there, as we would say down home, that is like asking a Baptist preacher if he has anything to say is like saying, sick them to a bulldog, right? So here they are. They go in. They're in Antioch of Pisidia. They show up on the Sabbath day. They find a synagogue. They go in. They hear the rabbi read the prophets, the law. And then all of a sudden they see these two visitors. And they say, hey, fellas, do you have a word of encouragement, exhortation? You have a word of exhortation or encouragement you'd like to share with the people? Now, bear in mind, the message that Paul's going to share wasn't a very... it wasn't a very positive one in the sense that it wasn't a message that the Jews wanted to hear, but it was a message that they needed to hear. You know, and that's been my experience when it comes to the gospel of Christ. It's often a message that you don't want to hear, but ladies and gentlemen, if you're lost in your sins, you may not want to hear it, but sweet friend, you need to hear it. Because if you don't hear it, You have a chance, and you will, if you die lost without God and Christ is your Savior, you will die and you will go to a place called hell. But the glorious news is the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented so that you don't have to do that. You can repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe on Jesus Christ and God will save you. He'll change your life. So, verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Listen to me for a moment. He's a great orator. The Apostle Paul, now bear in mind as well, the Apostle Paul, he was taught in the law. He was a Pharisee at one time in his life, so he knew the law like the back of his hand. But now he had a little more insight to it because now he didn't look at the law as a savior. He now looked at the law as the one that pointed him to a savior in Jesus Christ the Lord. So Paul says, hey, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me just for a few minutes. So Paul's now getting ready to preach a sermon. And in this sermon, here's what you're going to find. First of all, the message of salvation is the one message of the entire Bible. Salvation is the one message of the entire Bible. Somebody said that Jesus Christ is on every page. Old Testament, New Testament. He's all through it. He said, the message of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the message that man needed a Savior, that's the central theme. Jesus, indeed, is absolutely the key figure of the entire Bible. So Paul now, notice this message he's going to preach here. Look at verse 17. The God of this people of Israel. Now this is a Jewish audience. It's important to know your crowd. He's in a Jewish audience. So he's now going to take them on a history lesson. But in their history, what he's going to show them is, in our history as Jews, God had a plan. And that plan, here's the plan. The message of salvation was a message that God wanted not only us as Jews to hear, but God wanted the entire world to hear it. And to the Jew, salvation, yes, will come first to the Jew, but salvation is not just exclusively for the Jew. The message of salvation is inclusive, not exclusive. It's inclusive, meaning it's a message that the whole entire lost and dying world needs to hear. I know where I was going with the statement I made right at the beginning. About 10 years ago, there was a big, and I like to read, there was a big push for churches to kind of adopt a new philosophy of ministry. And here's what the new philosophy of ministry was. It was called, as a church, you need to focus on and adopt what will be your primary focal group, or target group is actually the phrase, target group that you're going to pursue. And churches bought into this garbage. And what they started doing is they started looking perhaps maybe at the city maps and they thought, you know what? We're not going to go into that area of our city with the gospel. We're going to go here. And this is going to be our target group. It's interesting to know, too, that those churches, they didn't really focus on the poor neighborhoods of their culture. They focused on the upper echelon. Many of them will do that. So they developed the philosophy and strategy of ministry was, our target group is going to be this crowd. Our target group will be this crowd. A lot of churches, that's also the same tenure, that a lot of churches quit bus ministry. Because you know, right, bus ministry doesn't pay the bills. Here's what I've learned about my Savior. You go after the one whom Jesus died for, and God will pay the bills for the church. Amen? Well, preacher, we got to be careful who we reach. Let me just go on record and make a statement. Here's our target group, Emmanuel Baptist. It's a lost and dying world, regardless of where they live, regardless of the homes they come from, regardless of the color of their skin, or how much money they or do not have in a bank. A target group is the world. That's our target group. You say, yeah, but preacher, we'd be more effective if we streamlined. Okay, let's streamline. Here's our streamline. Ready? Here's our streamline. Let's go after everybody we can. Amen? With the gospel of Jesus Christ. Little boys, little girls, moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas. Let's go after everybody with the gospel. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when you read your Bible, the message of Jesus, it's absolutely the one message of the entire Bible. We'll get to the first part of his sermon. Look at the text. Verse 17, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers. Young people, you'll notice that Paul has a biblical worldview here. He says, and exalted the people when they dwell as strangers in the land of Egypt. Now what Paul does is he's going to give them a history lesson, and he's going to focus it on different areas of history for the Jews. The first area he focuses on is when they were in the land of Egypt. When they were in bondage in the land of Egypt, and that goes back to the Old Testament, Paul now is going to give them a history lesson. But in that history, here it is. In this history lesson, he's going to show them that salvation was illustrated. Even when they were in Egypt, God illustrated the message, the one central theme message of the Bible, the message of salvation. God pictured it when they were even in Egypt. Look at the text. And with an high arm, verse 17, latter part, brought he them out. And about the time of 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. So that the first is Egypt, the second is the wilderness. Verse 19 says, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. So he's taking them from Egypt to the wilderness to Canaan. Now, what is salvation? Well, think with me for a moment, those that may know a little bit about the Old Testament. What happened in Egypt? You remember the land of Egypt? When they were in the nation of Israel was in bondage, and the Pharaoh was ruling and reigning over them. What did Moses do? Moses went unto the Pharaoh and said, hey, God says he wants you to let his people go so that they can go and worship him. What did Pharaoh do? He said, now, who is your God? We don't even know your God. We're not going to let these people go. So guess what God did? God, after a series of plagues, brought on those lands, on that Pharaoh, and on that whole land of Egypt. And very, very interesting that they got more intense with each plague. Finally, the plague, the death angel that passed over that plague, and it was after that plague, what happened? What were they to do? They were to take a lamb, and they were to sacrifice that lamb, and they were to put it on their door. And when that angel of death would pass over, he would not kill the firstborn of the home because the blood was applied. That's interesting to me. You know why that's interesting to me? Because when God the Father sees the blood, guess what? Death has no holding power on you. So Paul says to these Jews in the synagogue, he said, hey, you remember in Egypt? Oh, yeah, we remember Egypt. You remember the Passover lamb? Salvation is pictured in that Passover lamb. It was the fact that a sacrifice was given for someone else. Somebody, here it is, look up here. Somebody died in their place. That lamb was given to save somebody's life. Ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years ago outside Jerusalem, there was a lamb that was given to save your life, to save your soul from hell, to change your life. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, he'll save you, he'll change your life. So Paul says, hey, sermon illustration number one, we have Egypt. So salvation was pictured in a lamb. But then second of all, we have the wilderness. What happened with the nation of Israel? Well, because they refused to obey God and go into the land of promise, the land of Canaan, the children of Israel started saying things to Moses, you've led us out in this wilderness to die. We were better off back there. A bunch of whiners. Do you like whiners? You ever talk about, you're 60 years old. What's wrong with you? No, I'm just kidding. Whiners. And they're whining. And Moses, you've led us out in the wilderness to die. We're gonna die in the wilderness. It's so hot, like a teenager. I'm dying. It's so hot in here. So sure enough, during that wilderness, guess what happens? God says, okay, you're not going to listen to me. You're going to refuse to obey me. I'm going to let you go on a 40-year death march, 40-year funeral march, we'll call it, and you will know that indeed I am your God that brought you out of Egypt, and I brought you out of Egypt so that I could take you in the land of promise, but you refuse out of your stiff-necked, rebellious spirit, so we're going to go marching. So for 40 years, they marched, and they marched, and they marched, and they marched. And during this wilderness journey, they got bit by snakes. Remember that story? And God told Moses, you take a brass serpent, you put it up on a pole, and all that you tell the children of Israel, they are to look to that pole, and if they will look, they'll live. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul is illustrating perfectly that 2,000 years ago, as far as we were concerned, and right in the tenure of this passage of Scripture, there's somebody that was indeed hung up on a pole, hung up on a cross. And his name is Jesus Christ. And anyone that will look, they'll live. So salvation's pictured. It's absolutely pictured in a look. It's pictured in a lamb. And thirdly, it's pictured in a land. It's pictured in the land of Canaan. The Bible tells us in verse 19, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them. You can imagine in the land of Canaan. Now, here's what you find. It's amazing when you read the book of Joshua, because Joshua is now the general of the land of Egypt, or excuse me, the nation of Israel. Moses has died, and now Joshua's the next man up to bat, and he's leading the nation of Israel, and he takes them into the promised land. But when they get into the promised land, here's what they find. There's a battle there. There's an enemy there. And that enemy has to be defeated. There was one story in specific terms. It was the Battle of Jericho. Remember what God told him to do? March around the city. Matter of fact, keep marching around the city. And when you get, then blow your trumpets. And you remember what happened? The walls fell down. If you like it seen illustrated perfectly, watch VeggieTales. All right? VeggieTales will illustrate it. Okay. I don't think it was a cucumber. It might have been the broccoli. But somebody blows a trumpet on the VeggieTales video. But anyway, so what's the point? Here's the point of the Battle of Jericho. Here it is. Salvation is pictured not only in a lamb, it's pictured in the lamb. It's also now going to be pictured in the land of Canaan. Now you say, preacher, well, what is it? You see, we live in victory because somebody fought a battle for me. His name is Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took everything that Satan and hell could throw at him. And guess what he did with it? He defeated it all. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And the Apostle Paul, right in the synagogue, he's given them a history lesson. And these Jews would have heard that. And in their mind, maybe they thought of different battles. But the principle is, somebody fought a battle for us. And his name is Jesus Christ. So we see salvation is indeed the one message of the entire Bible. But second of all, salvation comes through one man. Look at the text real quick. We're almost done. He keeps going through their history lesson. Skip on down the verse. Let's stop in about verse 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and the rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Verse 28. And though they found no cause of death in him. Now, mind you, stay with me. He's reading these to Jews. Oh, and by the way, there was probably a lot of Jews in that synagogue that may have been in the multitude that witnessed Jesus dying. And they consented unto his death, if you will. So Paul now, he says, hey, salvation comes through one man. It's not only one message of the entire Bible. It's absolutely comes through one man, and his name is Jesus. Look at the rest of the text. Verse 28 says, and though they found no cause of death in him, and man, you could hear people squirm. You could see them squirming about this time. They didn't want the name of Jesus even brought up. Boy, is that not our culture? Everybody's all right unless you mention the name of Jesus. But I'll go on record and say you can't keep Jesus down, man. They tried to keep him down. Satan tried to keep him down, but you can't keep Jesus down. He's alive forevermore. And they found no cause of death, verse 28, in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But, look at this, but, thank God for that being there. But, Paul says, now mind you, you're Jews, imagine you're in a synagogue. And this visiting preacher, by the way, that's why I don't let visiting preachers just pop in and say, hey, I had a guy one time on a bus route. What was his name, Joe? Said he's going to preach for me. 5, 4, 8. But he shows up, and I never met this guy, and he comes up to me and says, hey, pastor. I was like, hey, how you doing? I'm pastor, blah, blah, blah. He goes, hey, I'm going to preach in your church tonight. I said, oh, really? I said, you really are? I said, well, tell me a little bit about you. And we talked for a long, long time. Needless to say, he didn't preach in the pulpit. You say, preacher, why? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very sacred spot as far as proclaiming the message of the gospel. We want to make sure that people are down the line when it comes to Jesus. Amen? If you're down the line when it comes to Jesus, you might want to make sure of that. So anyway, so Paul says, salvation comes to this one man. Verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them, which came, verse 31, up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings. Remember what the rabbi said to him? Hey, you guys, anybody want to share a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation? Paul says, let me tell you about some glad tidings here, verse 32. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, here's my opinion, and this is just opinion. I think perhaps that second psalm would have just been read. I think Paul is springboarding right off of what the rabbi just read. Maybe he read Psalm 2, and all of a sudden Paul says, no, by the way, what you just read in that psalm, that's Jesus. That's talking about Jesus. Jesus is alive. He's alive forevermore. He indeed is the central theme of the entire Bible, Old Testament, and also keep in mind, the only Bible they would have had at this point was the Old Testament. We know it as 39 books of the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament books. That's all they had. And Paul now says, hey, let's go on a history lesson. Let me take you back in the Old Testament. There are some today say, preach. I know of a church that doesn't believe in using the Old Testament. They said, well, we don't, honestly, it's in Northern Kentucky. And they don't believe in using the New Testament. They refuse to use the Old Testament. Yes, indeed, Jesus fulfilled what was said of him in the Old Testament. He fulfilled it in the New. But ladies and gentlemen, without the Old Testament, you wouldn't understand why Jesus had to die on a cross. Let me tell you why he died. Because in the Old Testament, you learn that we're a sinner before God. And it was our sins that broke God's law. And it was our sins that put Jesus on the cross. And Jesus, when he dies in the New Testament and was buried and he rose again, he did it because of Adam's fall all the way back in the book of Genesis. So without the Old Testament, you wouldn't understand the New. So the Old Testament is needed. You say, yeah, but preacher, Jesus isn't mentioned by name in the Old Testament. Maybe not in name, but ladies and gentlemen, he is absolutely, as I've already showed you this morning, he's not mentioned in name, but he is absolutely on every page just about it. He's there. He's pictured in the land. He's pictured absolutely throughout the Old Testament. And Paul's saying this Jesus, God raised him up. It's indeed who the Bible said would come. Verse 34, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Paul says, listen, he not only raised him up, There was no, he didn't see corruption. The body, he didn't decay. And the reason he hasn't decayed is because he's alive. And ladies and gentlemen, here we are 2013. Here's good news. He still hasn't seen corruption. Why? Because he's a living Savior. Why was it necessary? Why was it absolutely crucial and critical that Jesus come out of the grave? Because a dead Savior can save no one. But a living Savior can save anybody who will repent of their sin and trust Christ as their Savior. And as we'll see, we may even finish through it tonight, but as you will see throughout this passage, Peter, Paul, and Barnabas, they're letting them know, listen, you as Jews, God, you are blessed as a Jew. And God came to the Jew and he offered salvation first to the Jews. But your rebellion for 4,000 years we've rebelled as a nation. But it doesn't change the fact that this Jesus is a Savior, not just a Jew. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a story for an entire world. Stand with me, please, for him invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. Here's the invitation. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, sweet friend, I encourage you right now to repent of your sin. Call upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Ask God to forgive you of your sins and ask God to save you. He will save you. He will change your life. You say, well, Pastor, yeah, but I hope I'm okay. Listen, don't base eternity on your hoping you're okay. And I'll go on record and say this. If you've never repented and got born again, you're not okay. And you better settle that issue. You better hope death doesn't come knocking on your door tonight. If you die lost without Jesus, a hell awaits you. But you don't have to do that. You come right now. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, you need to be saved. We'll give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe you are saved. Say, Preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior. But man, I just need to get my life right with God. I need to get back in fellowship with the Lord. And I just really want that. Well, you can do that as we sing. What's the number, Brother Stephen?
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.